You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
A new relationship with God, a new relationship with himself, and a new relationship with his friends. That's the joyous outcome that we'll see for Job as we finish our study of this amazing Old Testament book on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another great study in God's Word. Now, for those of you wondering where we're heading next, well, our teacher, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, gave us a sneak peek in an introduction to today's program, so let's listen now.
We invite you to take your Bible now, friends, and I trust that it's the Through the Bible Bible, and we'll turn with us to Job, the 38th chapter, verse 8. And we expect this to be the last study in the book of Job. And the question always arises, where do we go to from here? We will begin in the Epistle to the Galatians. Write in and get those notes and outlines. It'll make that little epistle live in your heart because it's one of the greatest books in the Bible. It has brought revival time and time again in the history of the church. Now, get your Bible and turn with us, and we'll be there in just a moment. But I do want to urge you to write in and get notes and outlines, because it will make this study more helpful to you, more understandable, more interesting, and it will probably do something for you. It's doing for multitudes today, bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then building up God's children in the Word of God. And the only thing that can build you up is a consistent, orderly study of the entire Bible. You just can't imagine anybody taking up the subject of mathematics. And one day, the teacher assigns logarithms. And the next day, assigns fractions. And the next day, turns over to page 150. And believe me, they're difficult problems. Well, you've never learned mathematics that way. And I'm of the opinion that the Bible is a book that should be studied from Genesis to Revelation. And we'll have a book out for the book of Job, and it's available if you just write in and ask for it. And I have to say, it'll have to be accompanied with a gift to the program. We are on a direct route now, and God said to Moses, you've been around this mountain long enough. Let's get on the way. And so we want the Bible bus to take off now after today and get to Galatians, because we have a destination, and that's the book of Revelation, and we began back in the book of Genesis, and it's where the Bible bus began, and it's going to come out at the end of Revelation. We believe that's the way to study the Word of God. And as far as we know, that this is the only way it's ever been tempted on radio, to go through the entire Word of God. Come, go with us. If you're a new listener today, and write in and get the notes and outlines. Now, I've given you quite a sales talk here today. Didn't intend to do it, but I wanted you to know about the program, and I wanted you to study the Word of God in a way that'll bless your heart.
Yes, if you're a new listener, we're glad that you've joined us as we make our way through God's entire Word. Now, you can download the free notes and outlines that Dr. McGee mentioned by going to ttb.org/notes, or you can get the notes and outlines for Dr. McGee's entire 5-year study in one handy volume. It's called Briefing the Bible. Now, if you want, you can go to Amazon and get it for 99 cents off of Kindle, if that's the way you read your stuff, or you can go to our resources section and get a PDF at ttb.org. Or if you want to receive an abridged paperback copy by mail that we send you for free, you can call 1-800-65-BIBLE, or you can always write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C 6B1. Now, of course, TTB.org is also the place to visit if you missed any of these great studies in Job and maybe you want to go back and listen. But for now, let's grab our Bibles and let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that continues to teach about your grace and mercy in Job's life and also in ours. We thank you for this study and ask that you would speak to our hearts and help us to hear the message that you have for each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Job 38 through 42 on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, as we said last time, when God broke in upon Job, he began where Job was, and the place where Job was out there on that dump heap, and a storm had broken, and God spoke to him out of the storm. And in that day, men knew God as Creator. You must understand that the book of Job apparently comes from the period before any word of Scripture was written, so that actually God begins with him where he began with man at that particular time. And Paul stated that in the first chapter of Romans. He says in verse 19 of the first chapter, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, the thing that is all important for us to see here is that God was speaking to man in that day through creation. Now, that's the reason that you have this section here, and God's beginning with them where they were. And they were close enough to creation in that day that there was no atheism. There was polytheism. They actually worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, as Paul continued to say in that first chapter of Romans. Now, he could refer to creation, and that would be on the basis and the ground that these people lived on. Now, I'm not going to attempt to develop this section here. It has to do with creation, has to do with this physical universe that you and I live in today. And it speaks of God. It speaks of the fact that, as Paul says in Romans, tells two things about God, the person of God and the power of God and the wisdom of God. Creation reveals that. And it reveals the greatness of our God. How great thou art. And when you read this section, that is the impression that you're bound to get as he speaks of the fact that he is the Creator and that he knows something man does not know. In verse 22, there's a very interesting statement made. It says, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" Now, there are some very fantastic interpretations that are drawn from this of how the snow and the hail will be used in warfare. And I know it was what defeated Napoleon, but I'm not about to get out on a limb again today. The Bible is recording miracles. And the whole point God is making here to Job is, this is what I've done, Job, but you can't understand it. And men today cannot enter into these things. Only God knows these things. Now he says in verse 23, "Which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war." So that snow and hail, and I know that I'll hear from some folk that will inform me about it, how it's going to be used, and that'll be all right. I'll be glad to hear from you. But that's already been put through my mill a long time ago, and I passed it by because I think there's something here we don't know, friends. That's the point that God is making with Job. And he goes on to talk to him about the starry heavens. And in verse 31, "Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Out yonder in the heavens, these tremendous stars." Now, I do not know how much the ancients knew of them. Apparently, they knew a great deal more than we've given them credit for. It's my understanding that the Egyptians knew the distance to the sun. And they actually were a little bit more accurate than we are today in our measurements. And therefore, they must have had a great knowledge. And now, God goes on in this vein that He's the Creator. And have you really known God through His creation? And I think He's making it clear to Job that the creation reveals His greatness, but you can't know God. You can know something about Him, but you'll not come to know Him in this way. In chapter 39, verse 1, "Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Canst thou mark when the hinds do calve?" In other words, God is the God of nature. And today, the things that are happening in nature, God makes them happen. Nature would be dead. Nothing would happen. There would be no spring, and there'd be no summer. There'd be no fall. There'd be no winter. There'd be no storms. There'd be no movement in this universe. It would come to a dead standstill if there wasn't a creator back of it, my beloved. You can think that one through. Now, that is the point that God is making to this man Job, revealing His greatness. And this man Job now has a chance to answer. And I want you to listen to him. Here's something's happening to him here. Here is what he says. "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?" Job, are you in a position to give God a lesson? "He that reproveth God, let him answer it." And actually, Job had spoken without knowledge. And he's attempting to instruct God. He's attempting to tell God something. And he's in no position to do that because he's been uttering words without knowledge. And will you listen to him now? Job answered the Lord and said, verse 4, "Behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." Job says, "I should have kept quiet. And now I see I'm vile." Now, is this the man that said he would maintain his integrity regardless of what happened? Is this the man that declared that he was a righteous man and therefore there must be something wrong with God to let this thing happen to him? Well, this man now is saying that he's vile. As someone has said, if we could see ourselves as God sees us, we couldn't stand ourselves, my friend. And when you get into the presence of God, this is what you're going to have to say: "I'm vile." Now, actually, this appearance of God to Job had a threefold effect upon him. It had an effect upon his relationship with God, with his relationship to himself, and with his relationship to his friends. This is the man that hath spoken without knowledge, and his words are without wisdom. And this man now wishes he'd kept his mouth shut. But listen to him. He says, "Once have I spoken, but I'll not answer, yea, twice, but I'll proceed no farther. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I'll demand of thee, declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgment?" In other words, are you trying to say to God that He's wrong? And of course, God is not wrong. Job is going to be able to say to God now, "I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." This is a tremendous place that he's come to here. He's certainly advancing. Now, he does not know himself. He says, "I am vile." And when a man discovers that, he's come a long way. And we're going to see that there are several steps that he takes as he comes to God. Now, the Lord breaks through again on this basis of creation. Job, look around. You're in nature. There are a lot of things you don't know that you're looking at. And how can you judge God in His moral government of this universe? There's so many folk today that come up with some of the most asinine statements concerning God. And I've heard Christians make some very foolish statements concerning God. Now, we ought to be very careful what we say about him, and we ought to keep it in the context of the Word of God. This man actually did not know God. That is quite obvious here. He is uttering words without knowledge. When the Lord breaks in upon him, he asks him some more questions. Chapter 41, verse 1. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Now, this great monster of the sea, what do you really know about it? And today, they're studying these gray whales off the coast of California. And they're doing many things, try to find out about it. Well, look, we've come a long way since the day of Job. We still don't know about these big fellas that are in the water. And what do we know about dinosaurs? I heard this whimsy about the man that was a guide in a museum. And he came to a dinosaur in the lecture he's given to the crowd that went through. He says, this dinosaur is 2,000,006 years old. And a man came up to him and says, wait a minute here. He says, now, I'll accept that 2,000,000 years, but where do you get to 6 years? Well, this man says, when I came to work here 6 years ago, a dinosaur was 2,000,000 years old. I've been here 6 years. It's now 2,000,006 years old. May I say to you, friends, what do you know about Leviathan? What do you know about dinosaurs? Do you really know about them? Well, man just has to say, well, I just don't know. I'm not an authority. And any man that's a real scholar today, I don't care what field he's in, he'll tell you, I haven't mastered this field. We're just learning today. Well, now, if man is just learning, may I say to you, he's in no position to pass on God. And that's the thing God is telling Job way back yonder at the dawn of history. Now notice the effect upon Job, and we come to chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Is that the kind of a God that you have? He can do anything. And I know now the old saw about, can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? Now, may I say to you, that's like the question you asked Mr. Milquetoast. Are you still beating your wife? Well, you can't answer that by yes or no. And that other question has no answer for the simple reason that God never does anything foolish. He always does things in the context of his character, and he's always true to himself. And so you can't tell God to do something that he can't do. You know why? Because, my friend, you're in no position to do that, and God's not your errand boy after all, and he's not going to jump through a hoop just because you hold it up. May I say to you, listen to Job now. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Job says, I've been talking about something I don't know anything about. That is the way we used to have bull sessions in the college dorm I went to. We had finished studying at night and meet in some room. Some fellow said, what are we going to talk about? And I used to say, well, let's talk about something that we don't know anything about. Then the sky's the limit. We can say anything we want to say. My friend, may I say to you, he's been talking about things he knows nothing about, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. He's talking without knowledge. He doesn't know. Now, will you listen to Job? Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I'll demand of thee, and declare thou of me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Listen to Job now. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now this man Job, he has a new conception of God. Now, he's not in a position to question God in anything that he does. He's to trust him. He's in a new relationship. Now, he's in a new relationship with himself. He sees himself, first of all, as vile. And then he says, I abhor myself. You know what he's doing? He's repenting, my friend. These are the steps. I repent in dust and ashes. These are the three steps, really, of repentance. Is first of all, do you see you're vile? And the second, do you abhor yourself? My friend, when you quit trusting yourself, you quit trying to live on an old dead carcass, and you'll turn to the living God today. That's repentance, and that's the repentance that is in faith. What a wonderful thing it is. We come now to the third one, a new relation with his friends. Verse 7, it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. Notice now, a new relationship with his friends. Instead of fighting against them, debating with them, he's now going to pray for them. He's now going to offer a sacrifice for them. We're not to argue religion today and fight among ourselves. What are we to do? This is the thing Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. A new relationship to God, a new relationship to himself, and a new relationship to his friends. Now, God does something for this man Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, how did God give it to him? Well, he used human means. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. This is the way he got started. God gave him twice as much. How? Because these friends stake him to a new beginning. And believe me, Job was a good businessman. And he had twice as much as he had at the very beginning. Now, this is something, though, that's interesting. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke ox, 1,000 she-asses. Now, wait a minute. All of those are double, but it says he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And somebody says he didn't double them. Yes, he did. You see, those that died, his sons and his daughter, he didn't lose them. They're still his. He'd be with them. I guess he's with them today. And those that we lose in death, I've got a little one up there, as I said before. I used to say to folk, I have 2 children, 2 daughters. But they all look around, only see one. They think something's wrong with me. I got one in heaven. And very frankly, I'm not worried about the one in heaven. I am worried about the other one. I worry about her, but not the little one yonder in heaven. God doubled the children of Job. But the thing, look at the names they were given. He called the name of the first Jemima. Now, I thought that was for pancakes, by the way. And the name of the second, Keziah. And the name of the third, Karen Happock. Now, friends, if you have quite a few daughters in your family and you've been trying to think of a new name, I have a suggestion. Now, Jemima's been used, but how about Karen Happock? That's a good name for some girl, by the way, and I guess they would call her Hap for short. Karen Happock. These are the names. And we're told this, after this lived Job 140 years. That puts him back with the patriarchs. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. What a glorious book this is. What a lesson it has for us. Next time, we'll meet you in the Epistle to the Galatians. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a meaningful time we've had in the book of Job, don't you think? What have you learned? Why don't you tell us about it? We mentioned our address earlier, but you can also drop us an email. It's so easy. It's BibleBus@ttb.org. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page or even call if you'd like and leave us a voice message at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, if you'd like to share these studies in Job with a family member or friend, why don't you have them download our app? Or you can direct them to ttb.org, where you'll find many different listening options, including our Bible Bus flash drive that contains all of Dr. McGee's 5-year studies, as well as his notes and outlines, plus more than 100 of his digital booklets. You can learn more about the Bible Bus flash drive and purchase a copy by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE or visiting ttb.org. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE and ttb.org. Also at ttb.org, you'll find our new Bible companion for Galatians. Now, I know that some of you wait for these companions to be released, so go for it. It's ready. And next time, the Bible bus sets off for our new study in Galatians. I'm Steve Swetz, and I'll be here, Lord willing, saving a seat just for you. Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
who's worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m., and that's on the telephone. And the telephone number is 732-434-2231. That's 732-434-2231. Our church services start at 11 o'clock on Sunday, every Sunday at 11 o'clock. And now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. What a great and glorious opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes, prison cells, and automobiles, and wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are the church in the city with the city in his heart. We love you all. We thank God for each and every person that tuned into the broadcast to hear the truth of God's word. God's word is true regardless of whether people have tried to pervert the gospel or say things that are contrary to the word of God so that they can get the attentions of the people, telling them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. But I want to tell you today that the word of God is what you need to hear. We all need to hear the word of the eternal God, the one that came into this earth realm to redeem mankind back to the Father. And if you want to go back home, I pray today that you will listen to this broadcast and take heed to what the word of God is saying, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is soon to come back. And many people are telling us that, well, we still have time. We can wait. We can do a little more for ourselves before we turn our hearts toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you today that the time is short. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. And I tell you to put off the armor of darkness and put on that armor of light. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Praise God. We are looking today in the perfect law of liberty, the word of the eternal God. And we're going to look at John 3:16. Praise God. The most important thing here, that this broadcast has been tailored to salvation for folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can give their hearts unto Jesus. Because what's happening is that the end time is so visible, and the things that are taking place today in the world, that we see that all the prophecies have been fulfilled with the exception of the rapture of the church. And many people today, they're just not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking for the Antichrist. They're looking for all these different things that people have spoken of. But when we begin to abide in the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us into the word, we will take heed of what the word of God is saying. Praise God. Praise God. In John 3:16, the word of God tells us that God so loved the world. You see, the whole thing today is that we need to take notice that God loves us all. He loves the sinner and the saint, because we're all of God's creation, but we are not all God's children. And the whole idea is that if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can become a child of God. The scriptures tell us that for all that are in Christ, praise God, and have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So the scripture tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now listen to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land. I'm speaking to folks that love the Lord or say that they love the Lord, and even those that don't know it, because there has to be a balance in the word of God. You can't just talk to folks that say that they are saved and forget about those that are not saved, we have to speak to both parties because we don't know really who is saved. The only one that knows is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take notice and do what the Word of God says, then you can feel within your spirit that you really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So God loved the world. He didn't just love the world. It says that God so loved the world, praise God, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I want to tell you today, I am a whosoever. And if you're born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are a whosoever.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in him. That's Jesus. Glory to God. That's the one that the Father sent to redeem mankind back to God. Hallelujah. There are folks that are sitting in churches all around the country, perhaps around the world, that really don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that sounds like it's a very judgmental statement, but I want to tell you today that you can see that the religion is so high in the different churches that it begs for a description. Religion. God never sent his Son to bring religion. If you read what John 3:16 tells us, it says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever not have religion, but that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh my God, I tell you, whosoever believeth in him. Do you believe in your church today and forgetting all about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that he is the head of, not mankind. But I tell you, God loves you. He loves you so much.
Yes.
Until he sent his Son to redeem you. If you believe and trust in him.
That's right.
Minister Gloria,
yes.
It's just amazing how today religion is at its high. Folks are believing in themselves and their own works and the things that they feel that they are able to do and have forgotten all about the one that the Father sent.
Yeah, we thank God for his love because in Romans 5 and 8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, who died for us? Christ died for us.
Well, that's very strong statement to make there, although it's in the Word of God. But we as children of God must believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And folks today are trying to witness the people and they don't even know God. But I want to tell you, if your life is depicting the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection, then folks will see a difference in your life. They would realize that you belong to someone other than whom they belong to. But the idea today is that we want everyone to be saved.
Amen.
We know that everyone's not going to be saved. The scripture tells us this, and I don't say it with a great deal of joy concerning folks that are out there that are lost. The whole purpose of this broadcast is to reach people that are unregenerated. Folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the backslider, the ones that are saying that they know the Lord, that are carrying Bibles, they come in on Sunday and they clap their hands and they do all of these religious calisthenics, but then on Monday through Saturday, they are living like the devil. But I want to tell you today that God knows everything.
Yes.
He knows all about our going and our coming. But I tell you, our lives must resemble our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
But we know the Holy Spirit must do the convicting. Amen. We can try and save people, but we cannot save anybody. So they must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. I remember in John, was that 16, Pastor? And 8, when it says, and when he come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of the world is judged.
Well, praise the Lord. He has come. The Spirit of the living God is here in this earth realm. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Godhead, is in this earth realm to carry out the work that the Lord Jesus Christ left for us all, praise God, to be born again. Now, many people today have really forgotten all about the purpose of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's here to convict the sinner and the saint.
That's right.
None of us are excused because we need the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
As a child of God,
yes.
And those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ need him so that they can get saved.
Yes, amen.
You cannot get saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You can sit in the church all you want and sing all the songs that you want. But I want to tell you today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not given your life unto Jesus, you're just sitting in a building carrying on the things of an organization. Jesus loves you.
Yes.
He didn't tell you to go into a building. He didn't tell you that. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Most of us today, we fail to tell the folks the truth.
True.
We want to keep the truth from them.
Yes.
If we, by and large, know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling people things that tickle their ears. But I want to tell you, the truth is the reality.
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son,
mm-hmm.
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Now in that 17th verse there, praise God, mm-hmm. and I want you to understand that out there in radio land that have tuned into this broadcast, and like I said, I don't say this with a great deal of joy, but I want to tell you today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know him. All you need to do is to cry out to God and say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
Praise God.
I've not sinned against any other than you. And I ask you to come into my life, change my life. And God will do that.
Yes, he
providing
will.
Providing that it's
a genuine
repentance.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not God's will that any perish, but all come to the knowledge of repentance. Now, the 17th verse of St. John tells us a great deal of why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth realm, why the Father sent him so that he could redeem mankind back unto God. Listen to what the Word of God says. Minister Gloria,
says,
would you kindly read the 17th verse?
It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Praise God. Jesus came into this world not to condemn this world.
Amen.
The world was condemned already. It was full of sin. I say that again. It was full of sin. Jesus came to save us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing that we was on his mind when he was on the cross. Glory to God. And when he came in here and died for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You know, Minister Gloria, I was reading there in 1 John 2 and verse 2. It was telling me about, and I tell you, this is the Word of God.
It is.
And the Word has to be the final authority.
Yes, it does.
That's what it is. It's
mm-hmm.
God's Word. It has to be the final authority.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot try and skirt the issue by telling people something different so that we can keep them in the congregation and they are there without salvation.
Amen.
The truth of it is that God loves you. Tell the truth. The whole truth, and let folks know, glory to God, whether you are in the Ark of the Covenant or you are outside in the rain. Let me tell you something today. Each person, if you are going to church, and I'm not trying to lambast any church or organization, I just want to speak the truth of God's Word, because what happened is that we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or to preach the gospel and leave the consequences to God.
Amen.
And leave the because God is the righteous judge. He knows everything. And the Word tells us, let the wheat and tares grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm not trying to separate the tares from the wheat. Let me tell you something. That's a job that the angels are going to do when they come back, glory to God, when they come and sever out
right.
what's good and what's not good.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. And Jesus said, matter of fact, before we go into that other verse of scripture there, Jesus said there I think it's in Matthew 3 in verse 12, somewhere around 11 or 12, but he said that when John was talking about, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He was talking to the children of Israel. But let me tell you something. But he was saying that, but there's one that's coming after him whose shoes he's not worthy to lace, that he shall baptize. Now listen to what I'm saying. That he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will take the wheat.
Yes.
Oh, those are children of God.
That's right.
And put in the garner,
mm-hmm,
glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
But the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. My God, that when you read that, you should say to yourself, my God, I want to be right with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. First of all, I need the baptism. Praise God.
Amen.
I need to be baptized with fire. Praise God. Sit in the church there and just hear a 3-point sermon and walk out. No, that's not what it's about. It's to give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.
And we're not talking about baptism in water. We're talking about being baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Being baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the grace of God tells us where we should be baptized. Not in water. Although water baptism can't save you. But if you get baptized through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You'd be baptized into the Lord Jesus
Christ.
In the Lord
Jesus Christ.
That's what it says in Romans 6 and verse 3.
Yes.
Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not into water, mm-hmm, not into the whatever it is, but in Christ.
Christ.
We've put on Christ.
Put on.
But Miss Gloria, I wanted you to read this because we are trying to tailor this, mm-hmm, this broadcast of salvation.
Yes.
To folks that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to know him. Praise
yes.
God.
Mm-hmm.
My God, if you don't know him, we need to know him.
Yes.
We can't sit up inside of a church there and hear a nice songs from a choir and go through this 3 or 4 steps of the offering and the acknowledgments and so forth. We must tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Savior. And he went back to the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit here, which brings forth conviction to all of our hearts,
Lord,
whether we say that we're saved or not.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner.
Yes.
And he also convicts the saint.
Amen.
He convicts the sinner because the sinner doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he convicts the saints.
Yes.
Because they've done something wrong and they need to get it out of their lives.
Hallelujah.
By confessing it before God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, these are trying times. And if you confess your sins, he said that he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now he's talking to the saints there.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because it started out with brethren. My goodness. But listen, Minister Gloria, the whole idea in Romans 6 and verse 23 there, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Read
okay.
that.
Okay.
And we'll come back to that other verse.
Okay, Romans 6?
Yeah.
And verse?
Yeah, 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, through whom? The Lord Jesus Christ.
So the whole idea, everyone that tuned in to the broadcast out there, is that the wages, you know, you'll get a salary from the things that you're doing if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
That's spiritual death.
Yes.
But the gift, and this is who we're talking about, the gift of God is what?
It's eternal life. Eternal life through our Lord and Jesus Christ.
The gift of God.
Mm-hmm. It's eternal life.
John 3:16 tells us about the gift.
Mm-hmm.
It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That's the gift.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of God is eternal life. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. None of us can earn salvation. We have no part. We cannot work enough to try and please the Father so that we could be saved. No, it's a gift. You cannot earn it. Receive it. Receive this gift. Jesus is the gift of God, and he's been given to humanity. And by and large, you have a choice. A lot of folks today say, well, listen, I'm not ready yet. And they always trying to use the thief on the cross as the last thing before one can go into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You don't know the time that your expiration on this earth. You just don't know that. And if you can think that you can use that illustration there in terms of, well, I have time, and I'll wait till the last minute, and then I'll receive Christ. Well, there are many people that are dying, not having an opportunity to repent of their sin. Don't use that illustration thinking that you can wait until today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be sitting there in your easy chair watching television or perhaps doing what you want to do, appeasing your flesh and letting your flesh govern your life. But I want to tell you today that the flesh is not going anywhere. The flesh is going back into the dust of the earth. But I want to tell you that spirit that's on the inside of you, my God, is going back to glory to be judged.
Amen.
To be judged. You will be resurrected.
That's right.
The child of God, the word tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. But that other spirit that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ will go in to eternity without Jesus. And at some point in time, after the 1,000-year reign, will be resurrected and brought up before God Almighty to stand before him and tell their story. And I tell you, you cannot hoodwink God Almighty because he's omniscient. He knows all things.
Yes, he does.
You cannot fool him. And he'll let you say what you have to say, but the books will be open. Glory to God. And then the other books, plural. My God, everything that you've done, God knows about it. Your name's not written down there. I don't like to say the other part of it, but you will be cast into the lake of fire. That's why salvation is most important. Don't let these things of this earth put you in a position where you forget all about the one in whom the Father sent. And I know that he completed the work because God the Father would not have allowed him to sit down at the right hand had he not finished his work. What he gave him to do. Glory to God. Minister Glory, it is so important that we all should know that we have eternal life.
Amen.
You know, in 1 John there, it tells us there, glory to God. It tells us that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5 and verse 12. Glory to God. I tell you, we must know that we have eternal life.
Yes.
If you are born again mm-hmm. and washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, don't let anyone steal your crown. Don't let anyone tell you of deceive you, tell you that it's all right, God understands the things that you're going through, but you have not received his son. Don't let anyone fool you. Don't let anyone tell you that. Today is the day of salvation. Give your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm speaking to people out there right now that they go to church, but they don't know Jesus. What purpose is this to go to church and have not given your heart to Jesus? That's nothing but religion. See, and religion cannot save you. Jesus never called or came into this world to bring us religion. Mr. Glory, you want to read that verse, John
5?
Yeah, before we close here.
John 5 and 12. He that has the Son has life,
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
He that has not the Son of God has not life.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
He that has the Son has mm-hmm. life.
That's right.
The Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Deity. Glory to God. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. My Lord, my Lord. I pray today for folks that are just sitting in church, joining the choir and all the other accolades that take place inside the church, but they don't know the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. We want to pray today. Ask the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit,
amen,
that you would give your heart to Jesus.
Praise God. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But in Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, for whosoever, that's whosoever, that's me, you, whatever, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
That's the most important thing, the purpose of this broadcast. Not to make ourselves feel good. I think that we are more holier than thou. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have confessed him in our heart, tell God that we needed a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And I tell you, when the time comes for you to exit this natural world, you will be in the presence of Almighty God. We thank you all out there in Radio Land today that have tuned into the broadcast. We know that if the words that you've heard, you don't have to be in a building to be saved. You can get on your knees right where you are and tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you are a sinner. You must acknowledge who you are and the position that you're in, so that the Lord, because he knows, and he will save you. Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
We thank you all for being very attentive into this broadcast. Please give your heart to Jesus. He will save your soul. God
amen.
Bless you. Until the next broadcast.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.